Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're locked in with your host, Brent McGuire. So, happy Friday, everyone. I want to start off this episode by letting everybody know that it looks like I figured out my mic issue. I don't know if anybody has caught on, but my audio has not been quite as good as it was at the beginning, so I figured that out, and I believe we are on track for it to sound like this all the time, so just wanted to add that up front. I'm pretty pumped for today's episode. I'm going to spend the first part kind of doing like normal stuff I've done in the past. I'm going to do a fan mailbag, break down the Angels game from Thursday, but in the second half, I'm going to do a little bit of a throwback to the 2014 season. And it might sound random, but this past Thursday was the six-year anniversary of when the Angels clinched their division title in 2014, and it felt like a fun opportunity to go back to some times when Angels baseball was a little more fun, a really fun season, so I had a good time doing that one. But before we get into today's episode, just some housekeeping stuff. As a reminder, you can follow me on Twitter at bmags94. You can follow my written work at Crashing the Pearly Gates and the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Angels. And if you haven't done so already, make sure to download and subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google Play, or Spotify. Before getting into the bulk of today's episode, let's just do a little recap of the Angels game on Thursday. So they salvaged the series, avoided the sweep against the Arizona Diamondbacks, won 7-3. I mean, they took the lead early and they didn't really look back. Anthony Rendon hit a two-run homer in the first inning. They scored two runs in the second, another run in the third. Ended up winning 7-3. Pretty good game all the way around from the Angels. The offense looked good. Got the lead early. Griffin Canning pitched pretty darn well. Only allowed one earned run in his five innings of work. The bullpen came in. Pitched four innings. Only allowed one run. So pretty good game all the way around from the Angels. As they currently stand, they're 4.5 games back of the Houston Astros. There are 9 games left. Obviously, it's very unlikely that the Angels are going to make the playoffs, but there's still mathematical chance that that does happen. So we'll see where they're at after this weekend series against the Rangers, who have kind of given the Angels fits this entire season. Let's move on to our first big segment of Friday's episode. I want to do some fan mail questions. I did miss some from this past weekend that I just didn't happen to see going into Monday's episode, so I want to go back and answer those. And there's one other question I think is pretty important to answer given it just came up in the last 24 hours. So first and foremost, from Jason Hernandez, fellow Locked On host with the Anaheim Ducks, asking about Albert Pujols and how many more home runs he's going to hit this season. So given the fact that there are less than 10 games left for the Angels, I would like to say that Pujols will probably hit one more and move ahead of Willie Mays for good on the all-time home run list, but I think I kind of want to explore this just a little bit farther and see what he's going to do next year. And if you're trying to project how many home runs Pujols is going to hit in his age 41 season next year, it's his final year under contract with the Angels. I would presume that he's going to retire after that. So you're looking at one more chance for Pujols to put a full season together. At this point, I'm going to guess that Pujols is probably going to end up with roughly 15 home runs, maybe 13 home runs, somewhere in that range. I really do think that we're going to start to see less playing time from him going into next season, especially if Jared Walsh is actually legit, which he's looked pretty damn good so far. So we'll see. I think the final year is going to be a rough one for Pujols. It's been tough to watch, even with the milestone home runs. It's been difficult, so I think Pujols probably has enough power in him if he gets enough plate appearances that he'll probably hit 10 to 15 home runs if he gets enough time. So I think that's my answer as far as for the rest of the season. I would assume that he's going to hit one more home run, so I hope that answers your question, Jason. Next question is from Ruben, asking to rank the following Angel GMs from worst to best. So he puts Bill Stoneman, Tony Riggins, Jerry DePoto, and Billy Epler. So obviously this is basically all the GMs in this new century, nothing before 2000. If I'm going to give you a short answer, Ruben, Bill Stoneman is at the top, 100%, no questions asked. If you explore it a little bit further, it's really up to debate on what you prefer. So you look at someone like Jerry DePoto and Tony Riggins, and they made some moves that were clearly short-term moves to get more wins on the field right away. And if you look at their win totals, they're much higher than what Billy Epler's is. But you also have to take into consideration on when those GMs took their jobs. So you look at Tony Riggins, and he took over an Angels franchise that was so good for so long. As to when you compare him to someone like Billy Epler, Epler took over at a very rough time with an inflated payroll, bad farm system, just bad team all the way around. So it really depends on what you want from your GM. And they were all around for a significant amount of time to judge them fairly, I think. This might not be the popular answer. I think Jerry DePoto, from a results standpoint, got the most out of his Angels teams. I think Epler, even though the Angels have not made the playoffs, he did take over an Angels team that was not in good shape. And I think that often gets overlooked when we're evaluating Billy Epler as a whole. And he does have his flaws, absolutely, and I will admit that. But I do think he had a very large roadblock ahead of him when he took over. So if I'm looking at these four GMs, I mean, it's Bill Stoneman, and there's probably a giant gap in between the next best one. I think I would pick Billy Epler after that, and then DePoto and Riggins. So I think that's the list I'm going with. And our final mailbag question is from Steve. How's it going, Steve? Steve is asking, what happens with Adele after his appearance on that show that is trashing the hitting metrics and being censored on Twitter by the Angels? So if you haven't seen so already, Joe Adele appeared on a video on Trevor Bauer's YouTube channel, Momentum, and there were four people on this panel. It was Bauer was basically running the whole thing, Joe Adele, former All-Star Kenny Lofton, and top prospect for the Cincinnati Reds, Hunter Green. And this was an interview that happened back in February. I believe it was during spring training. It's just coming out today. But essentially, the four of them are sitting at a table having dinner, having baseball banter, and Joe Adele had a couple segments that brought to light some pretty interesting things that were obviously worth exploring. So let me play the clip from the first part that I found to be interesting, what Steve is getting at.
Yeah, we have a lot of, we do a lot of sensors. So we'll hook up sensors and basically go through swing motions and stuff like that, trying to see, you know, where the body is, you know, how things can be better. How do you, you know, get more power? You know, the sensors will hook up and make a 3D image of your body, your swing, and basically try to tell you, you know, from this data, this is how your swing can be more powerful. Are you getting the most out of your swing? And for me, honestly, I'm kind of out on it. I mean, I think, you know, hitting is, you know, see ball, hit ball. Like, that's how simple I've always played. I've never made it any more than that, right? I came from a small school in Kentucky. You know what I mean? I didn't have access to, you know, advanced equipment. You know, I didn't have a hitting coach until I got into pro ball. Mm-hmm. You know, so for me, jumping in and kind of seeing all that firsthand was just a lot. It was like, whoa.
So as you heard Adele say, he's not a big fan of some of the systems that the Angels are using to try to gauge what their prospects are doing. So I'm going to be upfront about this. I am a huge proponent of advanced statistics and all these devices that are trying to get the most out of players. But there's the big caveat that this isn't a one-size-fits-all approach. You can't just assume that everybody's going to react to these things the same. And as you heard Adele say in this video, he didn't have this type of stuff when he was in high school. He was basically, like he said, see ball, hit ball. And that is a very old school way of looking at it, but it does apply to certain people. So for asking if this is going to create a problem between Adele and the Angels, that's a good question. We saw last year that the Angels were pretty big on the advanced statistics, even at the major league level, in some of these devices that they were using. We saw the stories come out after the year when younger pitchers like Jose Suarez and Jaime Barea were a little critical of the way that the Angels were utilizing these numbers and some of the systems they wanted to use to get the most out of them. So I think it's worth pointing out that this isn't a new thing, and I do think that there is a part of coaching that involves being able to communicate some of these ideas properly to players and not just forcing this one-size-fits-all approach to every single player. And again, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm being critical of the Angels. I'm just pointing out that if Adell felt like these weren't working for him, these devices and stuff, then you got to just listen to what he's saying and what he thinks works best for him. And I think ultimately creating that dialogue between the two parties is the best way forward with this type of thing. But the next clip I'm going to play is something that created quite the controversy on Twitter. It's been a pretty insane week for the Angels for a variety of reasons, but this sentiment from Joe Adell was pretty interesting.
I've had to take a couple down. You know, I've had, you know, the club, you know, send me a note and say, hey, look, you know, we think that, you know, what you put out, we think you should take that down, right? Like, we, you know, we don't appreciate, you know, you speaking on that. My question is, we go out and play a game, right? That's what we do for a living. But at the same time, we're people, right? And we have opinions.
This is where I get stuck too.
We have opinions. And the thing is like, if I have an opinion, if I feel strongly about something, why do I have to just keep it inside and not express it?
So Joe Adell was pretty blunt about what happened. He said that the Angels told him to take some of his posts down. And I want to be clear that we don't have much more context to this. The only thing that we know is this is back from right around spring training. So this was before COVID happened. This was before all the protests happened this summer over racial injustice. So we can safely say that this was a while ago. And I don't want to speculate too much on what this might have been about. I've followed Joe Adell on his social media. I have no idea what it might have been that the Angels told him to take down. So I don't want to comment specifically on what was taken down and what they told him not to post. What I will say is I believe that players are more than athletes, and they are allowed to utilize their platforms to speak freely about things. They're citizens of this country, just like the rest of us. They have that First Amendment right to be able to speak out about things that they want to talk about. And that can involve politics. It can involve religion, race. It can involve social injustice. Like, whatever it is that they want to talk about, I think we need to accept that athletes do have that privilege to be able to talk about the things that they want to talk about. And again, I don't want to speculate too much on this because I don't know what it is that the Angels told Adell to take down. But I think my overarching message is teams should probably be more allowing of players to be able to speak about what they want to speak about. And something that Kenny Lofton kind of fought back on in this video was saying that the Angels are the ones that write the paychecks, and they kind of have that right to be able to say, hey, maybe you shouldn't post this. And look, I'm not oblivious to the fact that this is a business, and they do want their players that play for their team to be reflecting well on the organization. I fully understand that. But we also have to remember that these are all very unique individuals with very different backgrounds, coming from very different circumstances. And it's important that we allow them to be who they are and be able to speak up about the things they want to talk about. And especially when it's on social media, I mean, once they're away from the field, like, that's their right to be able to post what they feel is right on social media. Obviously, there's a limit on these things. We've obviously seen some bad cases in the past. We saw Josh Hader's old tweets resurface during the All-Star game a couple of years ago. That's obviously not good. You want to make sure that your players are aware of what they're posting and are able to go back and delete things and just take responsibility for things they might have posted in the past that might have been offensive. So I think that goes without saying. But I guess my overall message is that teams should be more allowing of their players to be able to speak freely about what they want to talk about. Coming up next, we're going to reflect on the 2014 season for the Angels as they clinched their division roughly 6 years ago today. But first, let me tell you about Roman. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it. With a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to roman.com/lockedonMLB and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnMLB today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnMLB. Before diving back into the second segment, I want to encourage you all to go check out the Locked On Lakers podcast and get a preview of their upcoming Western Conference Finals series against the Denver Nuggets. 6 years ago on this past Thursday, the Angels clinched the division title in 2014. It was their ninth division title, and it was ultimately the last time the Angels made the playoffs. And I was looking through some of the videos and kind of just reminiscing and felt like this would be a fun topic to get into, considering the fact that the Angels are very likely not going to make the playoffs once again this year. And I feel like it's always good to go back and look on some of these more fun Angel seasons. And I posted a video via the Locked On Angels Twitter page and got a lot of feedback on it. Most of it was positive. Some of it was funny. I know one of the responses was saying, like, I can't believe this isn't in black and white. And it really does feel like it's been a long time since the Angels were in the playoffs. So I felt like it'd be a fun time to reminisce about this Angels team that truly was a very good baseball team.
Congratulations to the Angels 2014 American League West champions. Mike Socha and his coaching staff have done such a remarkable job this year dealing with injuries, starting pitchers going down, Josh Hamilton suffering injuries, but this team has rallied. Albert Pujols, a true leader, Mike Trout, an MVP caliber season, Jared Weaver, an ace. Everybody on that team rallying behind Garrett Richards, his injury in Boston. Since then, this team cannot be stopped. And in game 152, they have clinched the division.
That video was courtesy of Major League Baseball Advanced Media. And yeah, I mean, that was just it was such a fun team. They won 98 games, won the division title. And honestly, it was more than just the fact that they were a really good baseball team. This team just played very fun baseball throughout the entire year. I think everybody remembers that rivalry that they had going on with the A's that year. It was a very intense season between those two teams. And really, this was just such a fun team. And everything started with that offense. The offense that led baseball in runs scored. They were second in wins above replacement. They were the fourth best offense by weighted runs created plus. I mean, this was such a good lineup that wasn't just Mike Trout. I mean, Mike Trout was amazing. He won his first MVP that year. He was obviously leading the way, but this was such a deep lineup. You go back and look at some of the names that were on this team. I mean, Albert Pujols bounced back from his injury-riddled 2013 season, had a very nice season. Howie Kendrick, final year as an Angel, really produced 5+ win season by some metrics. Eric Ibar produced. David Freese in his first year with the Angels did really well. I mean, even some of the positions, like, you look at catcher. I mean, Chris Iannetta and Hank Conger were one of the best catching tandems in baseball here, and I don't think people necessarily remember that. And I mean, this was a very good baseball team. And you look at the pitching staff, and you're looking at some of the numbers. I mean, they were roughly average in terms of run prevention and strikeouts and walks, but I don't think that does do justice to how good that pitching staff was when they were going well. I mean, you look at the splits between the first half and the second half, they were much better pretty much across the board in the second half. They made some trade deadline acquisitions for guys like Houston Street in the bullpen and Jason Grilley. I mean, they really turned that pitching staff around. And what those stats don't account for is the fact that Garrett Richards and Tyler Skaggs both had their seasons cut short. And I really do think that was a very good pitching staff. I mean, Jared Weaver produced in what was basically his last very good season as a major leaguer. But I mean, even beyond just some of the numbers, it's just how fun that team was. I mean, you look at all the heroics they had that year, and I'm going to play some of the audio from some of those really fun moments from that season, but just look at the strictly from their walk-off hits. I mean, Mike Trout had 2 walk-off home runs. That's not a surprise. Albert Pujols had a walk-off home run. Cool. Like, Howie Kendrick had couple walk-off hits. Like, those guys were good. But even some of the other guys, I mean, Colin Cowgill had a walk-off home run. Chris Iannetta had a walk-off home run. Grant Green had a walk-off single. Efren Navarro had a walk-off single. It was just one of those seasons where the Angels were able to pull from their minor league depth, or just, it was basically like whoever they brought up was ready to step in and make the most of whatever moment was there. And that just kind of, in a nutshell, describes that 2014 team. I mean, they bounced back from what was a pretty brutal 2013 season, which was on the heels of a 2012 season that was deemed a disappointment after making those Pujols and CJ Wilson signings. 2014 was kind of like that coming out party where it seemed like everything came together and they really produced. That said, obviously, I haven't even mentioned the fact that they were swept in the playoffs. And that was, it was demoralizing. I mean, I'm speaking as someone who was in the stands as a fan for both of those games in Anaheim. And just that deflating feeling when Mike Moustakas and Eric Hosmer hit those go-ahead home runs and extra innings. I mean, to put it bluntly, it sucked. I mean, the team was so good in the regular season, and they just couldn't put together even one good game in that series. And it was not a fun ending to the season, but I still firmly believe that was a very, very fun baseball team. And on a more personal level, 2014 was a big year for me in terms of getting into the baseball community. It's my first year when I was blogging. I started blogging for Maniac Ball / 80 Grade Halo. So that was like my first time that I was getting my thoughts on the Angels out in public. I was also helping with the Angels fan group, Halo Hooligans, that year, where we went to a bunch of games and did tailgate events and all that kind of stuff, and found my way to Angels Twitter, which, take it for what it's worth, Twitter is not the best place to be nowadays. It did help me connect with a lot of very cool people, people I'm still friends with, including Taylor Blake Ward, who I met on through Twitter. So I think that year just really holds a special place in my heart, and the Angels were just such a fun team to watch that year. To round off this segment, reflecting back on the 2014 Angels, I wanted to play some video clips of some of the best moments of that season. So first and foremost, Mike Trout, first at-bat, opening day, home run against King Felix.
And that is out to left field, and the Angels are up 2-0. Big fly, number one for Mike Trout.
A little less than 2 months later, another big moment for Mike Trout, hits his first walk-off home run of his big league career.
Breaky pitch out toward left, going back on it is gone, a big fly, walk-off style, and the Angels pick up the victory by the final of 6-5, nothing Guyer can do at left. Check that one off the bucket list.
Less than 2 months after that, July 4th, packed crowd at Angel Stadium. Mike Trout does it again.
Here comes the 0-2. That's driven out to left field. Going back on his house. At the wall. Drive home safely. And walking big fly for Mike Trout. Right there, baby.
Shortly after the All-Star break, I think everybody remembers this game quite well. The Fernando Rodney, Albert Pujols, Aero game.
Trout takes off. The pitch is caught on. That's down the right field line. That'll go for extras. Trout went into a slide at second. He's headed to third. He's being waved in. Here comes a throw by Romero. We are tied up at 5. The ball gets away. Pujols remains at second. And while Albert got to second base, Albert took the arrow out and shot it at the Angels dugout.
Boy, I love this. This is what baseball is all about, especially now two rivals going at it.
So yeah, just a super fun season. Really felt like this was fun. I had a good time just kind of looking back on when the Angels were a good baseball team. It did happen in the not-so-recent past. That's going to wrap things up for today's episode. So as always, thank you fans for joining in. Thank you for the fan mail questions. Really do appreciate that. As a reminder, you can follow me on Twitter at bmags94. You can follow my written work at Crashing the Pearly Gates. And you can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Angels. And one final note before I get out of here, make sure to go check out the Locked On Padres podcast. Get a preview of the series coming up next week against the Angels. But once again, fans, thank you for tuning in. Stay safe out there, and we'll talk next week for some Angels baseball.